This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I've been saying this for a long time now. He's a football player, and he finds himself in the right spots because he does all the right things leading up to the game. He prepares well. He practices hard. He loves his teammates. And again, a guy that if he gets one target a game, he's happy. If he gets 15 targets a game, he's happy. He's the same exact guy every day. And, you know, guys love him for it.
Josh Allen on Khalil Shakir. No, he's not throwing shade at Diggs. He made a point of that yesterday to say, no. Don't do that.
Didn't he seem put off to you, too, when he said it? Didn't he kind of come off like, guys, I can't keep doing this.
He said, every time
I say anything, I don't want to have to come out a day later and say it wasn't about Stephon Diggs.
Right. We don't need to make this thing a thing. Yep. 803-0550. Do some fantasy football chatter here with Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports, who joins us on Thursdays usually. It's been Wednesdays. The schedule's been crazy, Scott. We've had the Bills on Thursday, and then the Bills on Monday, and now the Bills are on Sunday. So we're kind of going to settle into a routine, although they play the Jets in 2 weeks on Monday Night Football again. Anyway, we'll figure it out. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I've never understood why the schedule likes to stack up those standalone games. So the Bills played the Thursday game. They played the Monday game. There's going to be a logical reason why they do it, but because it's a pattern, I haven't understood it. But speaking of the Shakir clip, so Josh Allen, obviously the presumptive MVP right now. I did a Superflex redraft on Tuesday. He was the first overall pick by me. But just funny that the receiving has been so spread out. And yet Shakir, 14 targets, 14 catches. I know he's running a lot of, you know, those easy throws, the layup targets and all that. But isn't it just nice that somebody, he's always where you want him to be? I mean, you know, he's never going to be a superstar, but what a solid football player that would be welcome on any team. And, you know, maybe his upside is a wide receiver three, but, you know, I'm happy to have a lot of Shakir shares on my teams.
Yeah, he's tied right now, Scott, for the NFL record amongst receivers. 27 targets in a row he's caught going back to last year. And I have a little of him in fantasy this year, but like you just mentioned that redraft, I wonder where he would go today because he looks like he's going to be a regular part of their offense. They got him the ball a couple times near the red zone or the end zone. And if he's going to be the number one target for Allen, I don't think he's maybe a league winning type of guy, but he's someone that is in your lineup every week from now on, right?
For sure. Yeah. Tied to a superstar quarterback, tied to a bankable offense, tied to good infrastructure. And even if you think, okay, Coleman's a rookie, a lot of times those players are on the upswing as the season goes along. Obviously, Kincaid, you would think, could have a bigger role. Samuel had an injured training camp, so maybe his role expands. But you need – not every pick you make is going to be a hair on fire, you know, upside, you know, gigantic league-winning pick. There aren't that many of those guys. So there's something to be said for getting on base. You know, maybe Shakir is a single in fantasy. You know, maybe he can be a double. I guess he can't be a home run, but – you need base players, too. Not everybody can be Eddie Van Halen. You need some guys putting down the drum beat, and I feel like Shakir's that type of player.
Scott, as we look out, you mentioned Kincaid. We zoom out. Kincaid had a nice performance. He got involved in the offense, had a touchdown. One of the big stories in fantasy this year is not quite the death of the tight end position, but if you invested big in tight end, you're not getting returns. I mean, Kelsey, of course, a big name, and I remember a couple weeks ago you said, you know, he'll get his, but he won't be what he once was. What do you make of what's happened at the position? Is this something that, as we look at how the league has changed, maybe there's less space for these tight ends to work? I mean, or are we looking at just, hey, it's 3 weeks, we'll figure it out?
I wrote an article after the first week thinking it was more, okay, it's the first week of the season. The first couple of weeks are glorified preseason games. Teams are trying to figure out what they have and what they don't. I was surprised. I thought maybe tight ends might have been blocking more in the early games, but when I dug into the data, that didn't back it up. So one thing about tight ends is that they, more than other positions, because they're generally, even the best tight ends, with very rare exceptions, don't have huge target totals. So you usually need touchdowns to get a tight end home in fantasy, and because scoring's down league-wide, I think it affects a player like that more than it might affect like somebody like CeeDee Lamb, right? He's off to a slower start. He's only scored once, but his target totals are so robust that he's still giving you value. He's not, people are not screaming about CeeDee Lamb right now, even though he's been a minor disappointment. When the tight ends don't get the goal line equity, it really deflates them. But think about right now for fantasy, who do you wish you drafted a tight end? There's just so few. If I just said you can have whoever you want where he went, Brock Bowers would be an obvious answer. He's outkicked his coverage. But between injury, underperformance, the quarterbacks trying to find their way, at least we saw the way last week ended, right? The Monday night game, the Jaguars were terrible, but Buffalo was great. That second game between Washington and Cincinnati, no punts, no turnovers, first time since 1940 for that. I feel like the scoring is going to bounce back a little bit. I mean, maybe the year is still going to be down for scoring year over year, but I feel like better things are ahead. Teams, it's all about, I think back to that year, the Patriots got stomped at Kansas City, the on to Cincinnati week. The first month is about figuring out what you have and then making adjustments. We saw the rookie quarterback started to play better in week three. Nix improved. Williams improved. Obviously, Jaden Daniels was electric on Monday night. So as the offenses start to play better, I think the Titans will at least make some kind of a rebound, even if it's a little bit of a marginalized position right now for fantasy.
You know, you mentioned a couple games there. I want to just pick up on individual players here. I say this as someone that sold my stock in Anthony Richardson high after four games last year and drafted Jaden Daniels. And I wonder, you know, how you feel about those two players. And let's get into the quarterback position. Like, at what point do you become confident from a fantasy standpoint that, oh yeah, this guy is legit. He's a quarterback one. Like, Richardson came into the season with hopes of that. And as an actual quarterback, you know, he's still building it there. Fantasy, he's hit and miss right now. And Jaden Daniels looks like he's going to set the world on fire with how good he's been early.
I feel like this Jaden Daniels story, we've seen it before. It has so much of the RG3 feel 12 years ago. Team is down, early quarterback pick. City just dying for something to feel good about. And what I really like about Daniels is he's offered a rushing component in all three games. I realize he didn't have a touchdown, but none of the rookie quarterbacks had a touchdown pass until week three. But he's, every week he's getting you something as a runner, and he's starting to look more comfortable in a Cliff Kingsbury offense. Isn't always easy to do. I still think they could be more creative with Terry McLaurin, but everybody's happy with the way McLaurin played Monday, the 55-yard catch, and then that touchdown, which was, I think, the lowest probability completion of the season. And just everybody can remember that throw, just closing their eyes. You can see it in the right corner of the end zone. The problem I never understood with Richardson is I always viewed him as a solution in search of a problem, and that he was drafted at his ceiling. And I always thought, well, what does Daniels not offer that Richardson does? Richardson played so infrequently in college. He hasn't gotten that much experience since he graduated high school. Obviously, last year he only played the four games. He has no rapport right now with Michael Pittman. He's missing a lot of easy throws. His completion percentage is under 50%, which is really unusual in the NFL. It's just hard to be that inefficient. And I realized there were some home run plays in that opener, and he's got a cannon of an arm, and there's going to be some splash plays. But you need some consistency, too. You need to keep your defense off the field. They're getting like 15, 16 first downs a week. They're punting, going three and out way too much. So I think it's going to be I almost feel like Richardson is the other rookie quarterback because he played so little last year. You have to be reasonable. But for anybody who's struggling with Richardson, I mean, you're not alone. Again, scoring's down league-wide. I posted a tweet last night that in his last 10 games, Patrick Mahomes has been inside the quarterback 12 once. He's been basically a qualified fantasy starter once in 10 games. Now, I realize they were better in the playoffs, but it's...
But not much. not much. You know, it's your tweet, Scott, that had us look into this, and Joe found the number of quarterbacks that have had three touchdowns in a game more recently than Mahomes is not exactly a stellar list, like Tommy DeVito and Easton Stick. Mahomes hasn't had three touchdowns in a game since October of last year, which is, you know, this Kansas City offense lives, at least in my head, as some sort of juggernaut, and it's been quite a while since it has been one.
No, it hasn't been a juggernaut at all. They were a league average offense in the year they won the Super Bowl last year. And I think a lot of people are getting sick of this. You know, Kansas City, they do just enough to win. It seems like they've gotten some curious calls at the right times or non-calls. You know, Pitts was obviously interfered with in that Sunday night game last week. You know, let's cleanse our palate and talk about a quarterback everybody can trust, like Andy Dalton, okay? Comes in. Bryce Young is, look, he's terrible for two games. He was terrible all last year. He's a really nice kid by all accounts, and the Panthers were saying great things about how he was engaged all week, knowing he wasn't going to play. But so you might think, okay, Andy Dalton, okay, journeyman, you know, 37, I think he is. But it's just nice to see the ball come out on time. It's nice to see the ball go where it's supposed to go. Even if you don't trust Dalton, it makes us be able to trust Deontay Johnson. We can trust Chuba Hubbard. Eventually, the rookie Brooks will get on the field. So Dave Canales was a hire we were all excited about. He did really good things in Tampa Bay. And by the way, that Tampa Bay offense, they were great week one against Washington, the easiest matchup in the league. They have not played well the last 2 weeks. They somehow beat Detroit, despite being outgained by a significant margin. Then the Broncos, a very ordinary team, beat Tampa Bay up. But I like Canales. And I think, you know, just having a professional quarterback, nobody's expecting what Andy Dalton did last week is unsustainable. I mean, nobody's doing that in the league, 300-plus yards, three touchdowns. But go watch the highlights of that game or with the shortcuts or just you look at what he's doing. The ball is on target. The touchdown throw to Thielen, unfortunately Thielen got hurt on that play, was a dime. The touchdown to Deontay Johnson, beautiful throw, has a feel for the rush, knows what adjustments to make at the line of scrimmage. I never thought I'd be saying Andy Dalton, save me because I need Deontay Johnson. Save me because I need Chuba Hubbard. But that's where we're at right now. He's, you know, Miami wishes they had an Andy Dalton, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
totally.
Is Jonathan Brooks in that as well? Like when he comes back, now he goes into what is a competent offense?
For sure. Two things you get. One, yes, the level of competency rises. And also you want Carolina, weak division, right? You want them in the hunt for the playoffs, so there's more urgency to get Brooks back. If they're sitting him like at 0-17, then you think, well, okay, he's coming off a major injury. Let's not overexpose him. But maybe there's a little bit more urgency to get him on the field because this is a very steelable division, right? I mean, nobody trusts the Falcons. Tampa Bay hasn't looked good for 2 weeks. Just when we thought we could trust the Saints, Carr has a bad game. Their center gets hurt. They really did nothing right against the Eagles, so why not the Panthers? This might be a division where 8 wins gets you into the tournament. So, and no team wants to give up in September. They got a good win last week. I mean, you know, and the Raiders, you know, they're not a great team, but they had just beaten Baltimore. That's a really good win for them. And I'm excited for this Andy Dalton revenge tour. Right, he's got Cincinnati this week, Chicago next week. Let's go.
Leggett maybe too, because if Dalton's good, there's going to be another receiver probably that there's enough for, at least a little
call
bit.
Out. Yeah, and if you're in a super deep league, maybe Mingo can show something. But yeah, Xavier Leggett, a late first-round pick, and kind of overshadowed, right, because Neighbors has been great, and Harrison, we all expect the world from him, and Brian Thomas certainly has fans. We saw Dunza get more involved in week 3. I think Leggett gets overshadowed. Even Ricky Pearsall's been in the news for unfortunate reasons. You know, I'd hate to see somebody get shot, but I think people forget Xavier Leggett was drafted with a lot of hype too, and now with Thielen already on IR out multiple weeks, a shame, because I thought Thielen was going to be really useful for Dalton. We saw them connect early last week, but I think Xavier Leggett, we talk about waivers and stuff, and you know, we have to tell you that Bucky Irving is available in a lot of leagues, but you know, people are like, no, he's gone in my league. That league's competitive. Give me somebody who's out there. Xavier Leggett is a great call out.
Yeah, Bucky Irving, the running back from Tampa, who, right, if you didn't get on him now, it's probably too late. Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline. Who, Scott, like, kind of open-ended here, is a guy to you in the league that has started really slow that you would be looking to buy? Like, who's your top guy for that right now that you're looking to trade for?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
And obvious would be Lamb. I mentioned earlier, they are not going to run the ball. They're going to have to, Dak will probably be close to the lead in pass attempts. I thought T. Higgins looked really good on Monday and didn't get much to show for it. Just missed a touchdown by a couple of feet. It's funny how just one play can change your perception of where you're going. I would certainly be in on him. Also, with that Dallas situation, Jake Ferguson missed a game with an injury. We talked about how ugly tight end is. They don't have the greatest wide receiver room after Lamb. And again, I think Dak's going to have a lot of 45 pass games. Maybe he won't need to do it tonight, depending on what the Giants show. But Ferguson, I think, has top five tight end upside. He'd be somebody I'd be targeting. And just make sure, we talked about Bucky Irving being kind of an obvious play, but just make sure you have these lottery ticket running backs all through your bench. Remember, DeAndre Swift did just about nothing for three games. The Colts were supposed to be a great matchup. He still looked terrible. Roschon Johnson was their better running back last week. This is more of a pickup idea than a trade idea, but I think Chicago's going to see what they have with Roschon Johnson. Bad offensive line, but maybe he's got the skills to combat it in a way that Swift really doesn't.
Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline as we chat. A little fantasy football, you know, lineup decisions, buy, sell, hold, all that kind of good stuff. You know, some of these teams, I think about Arizona here. Arizona, Washington, especially this week, is a matchup that could have a lot of points. The Marvin Harrison Jr. panic from week one is gone, right? He had the big week two, and then week three we saw enough. Like, we're getting Marvin Harrison on a trajectory, but he will possibly live in the shadow of Malik Nabers, who is set to become...
He's the number one receiver in fantasy so far, I think.
And I don't know if that's going to slow down, because I remember seeing in the beginning of the season that you should trust Nabers here, because even though Jones is not good, the volume will be there. And holy cow, he has absolutely been a volume monster.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk this week of should the Bears have taken Jaden Daniels. There's also been talk, should Malik Nabers have been the first receiver in this class. Obviously, he was a game breaker at LSU, along with Ryan Thomas, along with Jaden Daniels. What a fun offense that was. Very similar to what Joe Burrow had with Chase and with Jefferson a few years earlier. And as you said, volume is obviously gigantic in fantasy. It's almost everything at the running back position. And receiver, you need to sprinkle in some skill as well. And Nabers, say this for Daboll, and you guys know all about Brian Daboll, obviously his time in Buffalo. He knows how to get his wide receiver open. And you got to move these guys around. You got to get them in different parts of the field. You got to get them in motion, because it's just so much easier for the defender to say, okay, we're just going to park this guy as the X receiver on the outside. He'll be right here. It's like you look at, people talk about wide receiver, cornerback matchups. Patrick Surtain against number one receivers this year is the Mike Clay ESPN stat. Every time the number one receiver's been on the perimeter, Sertan's on him. When the receiver has been in the slot, I think it goes down to like 40% Surtain. So if I'm the Jets this week, how do I get Garrett Wilson away from Surtain? I got to put him on the move. I got to put him in the slot. I can't just park him in the same spot and Patrick Surtain comes over and here I am. I'm going to, you know, mark you for the next 10 seconds. You're not going to be open. As great as Garrett Wilson is, I mean, he's Surtain shutting everybody down. So the way Daboll has used Nabers, the volume, the creativity, Jones isn't great, but he's good enough in this case. Certainly for fantasy in that redraft. Ironically, I talked about starting Josh Allen. When it got back to me on the turn, I actually double tapped Nabers and Marvin Harrison. It was a little bit of FOMO for me because I didn't have any Nabers on my primary teams, but it's interesting. I took them both over Tyreek Hill, by the way, which shows my level of panic with the Miami quarterback room. But maybe Nabers should have been. Marvin Harrison's a very good player, and I think part of the profile of him was that he had a really high floor. But right now, I think the ceiling of Nabers is more exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Patrick Surtain. I saw his comments about playing against Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, and he's basically talking about how, you know, you watch Rodgers growing up, he's one of the best. He knows Garrett Wilson is one of the best. Are there, how many are there, if there are any, erasers for you in fantasy? Like Marshawn Lattimore against Mike Evans, right, was an eraser. You cannot play Evans against Marshawn Lattimore. It just doesn't work. And Surtain, you mentioned, like, good numbers against these teams. It's not often a thing we talk about. Like, oh, you got to stay away from this defense or this player. Is there even a list for you?
Surtain's the only quarterback who moves the needle for me, and that's not just a comment on the cornerbacks, really, but the way teams play defense is just an element of zone and handoff, and and even with Garrett Wilson this week, I still have him at a space where most people are probably going to have to just grin and bear it and start him. I think I have him wide receiver 21 or something like that. And Wilson, we talked about buy lows, by the way. He might be a good buy low, too, because he's had such an unfortunate run out with harder-than-expected matchups versus some of the other guys in this position. Although, that Jets offense, they play awfully slow. Turns out they have two really good running backs instead of one, because Braylon Allen just looks outstanding. He's not going to beat up Breece Hall, but he's here. He's a mouth to feed. Lazard has more maybe left than we thought. Tyler Conklin was involved last week, Mike Williams. So could be a crowding issue. They don't play that fast, so we have to be reasonable. But you know, the cornerback stay-away list, it's one right now for me.
On quarterback, one quarterback question before we let you go, Scott. Darnold is the number four quarterback in fantasy so far, and I saw this morning he's still only being started in like a quarter of leagues. Who's like the highest drafted quarterback that you would be willing to bench him for? Like at this point, got the guys like Goff and Cousins that were kind of like the end of the quarterback one list, Caleb Williams. Like, are those all assumed at this point that you would play Darnold over them?
Mahomes?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you mentioned this track record.
I'm drafting Darnold every week. Just at the top of the double digits to 10, 11, 12. And we've really seen, everybody knows the NFL's a coaching league. Talked about Dable earlier, what he's doing with neighbors. Look at what LaFleur did with the Packers. Jordan Love hurt week one. Malik Willis has been on the team for 10 seconds, and they have sustained offense the next 2 weeks. And look at what Kevin O'Connell has done in Minnesota last year. After Cousins gets hurt, he still got, and realized the quarterbacks had some errors in their play. There were some giveaways, but the YPA was stable with people like Nick Mullins, who's probably one of the better backups in the league, but still a backup, and a collection of other guys. You know, Cleveland last year, man, I did do anything to get Deshaun Watson out of there. Their offense spiked when Joe Flacco came in. And what O'Connell's done, obviously, McCarthy was supposed to get the handoff at some point this year. He gets the unfortunate injury. He won't play this year. And here's Darnold, younger than Joe Burrow, by the way, who just one of those post-type guys. Everything went wrong. He got mono with the Jets. He was hurt, bounced around. You know, it's kind of a little bit like the Baker Mayfield story. Maybe he just needed to go somewhere else. Maybe he needed to take a year off where he hardly played. Darnold had that last year in San Francisco. I'm at the point now where I would follow Kevin O'Connell into a burning building. I just trust him to design offense. And I think Darnold has always had the talent to be a plus quarterback. He's a little bit of mobility. He's got a very strong arm. And it's not just the Justin Jefferson show. If I told you, you know, you'd been out of the country, I'm like, hey, Sam Darnold's one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy right now. You'd be like, oh, Jefferson must be going ballistic. No, he's been good. He hasn't gone crazy. Darnold's thrown everybody here. You know, Naylor has touchdowns in three straight games. Eventually they'll get Addison back. Eventually they'll get Hockenson back. Maybe Hockenson can make our tight end rooms a little bit better. But Sam Darnold's just a good football player, and he's tied to a coach I really, really trust.
Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports. Always a pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games.
And you as well. Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. You can, of course, find him at the Yahoo website on Twitter at @ScottPiano_WSKI.
Neighbors, man.
Scott _ Piano.
Number one. The top five. Do you think you could name that? You would know the top five fantasy receivers right now on the season?
Top five fantasy receivers on the season.
Who are the top five?
Neighbors.
Number one. Yep. Which is, man, if you drafted him, it's two, because Neighbors is one of those guys where you pick him in a draft and everybody in the room goes, ooh, look, you got Neighbors over there. And that always doesn't work. And this time it's working, and it's like, you drafted the sexy player in your fantasy draft, and then it's working like this. So he's number one, yeah. Number two?
You want to know something about a dynasty league that I'm in?
Go ahead.
Where I had the first and the third pick.
Did you pick Neighbors number one?
I went Harrison one.
Yeah.
And then number two pick. Did not take Neighbors, so I have Harrison and Neighbors in that dynasty league.
I think, was it Chris Trapasso who said Neighbors was his number one receiver?
There were several that had like Neighbors as number one.
Yep. Neighbors is number one in fantasy. Number two?
Number two fantasy receiver.
Don't think too hard. I mean, you've watched him a few times probably already.
Yeah, have I?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Rashee Rice.
Okay.
Number three, I don't know if you would get Chris Godwin's having a great season so far.
I read
far.
A lot about him going into the slot when they draft Jalen McMillan. Like it frees up Godwin. He's ready to go into the slot, and he's
thriving.
Feasting.
Number four, because of one game, basically, is Juwan Jennings.
Right, three touchdown game.
46 points last week, and then number five is Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
As you'd expect.
Time for our Thursday three-way parlay coming up. We're just going to pick a leg. on Giants Cowboys tonight. Cowboys at Giants. Thursday Night Football on the way. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.